Wasn't that a beautiful song? Oh, the only scars in heaven will be on his hands, his side, and his feet. And he'll show us that. Why would Jesus leave the scars there, the wounds? To show us for all eternity his love for us. And we can't wait to get there. I know I can't. We're so thankful. Thank you, Andrew. And a beautiful song it was. Shall we just look to the Lord in prayer? Father, we're confident today that we're going to be in heaven, not because we're good people or we've done good things or we belong to some special society or anything like this. We're only going to be in heaven by grace through faith because of what our Lord Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. The only reason, and none of us deserve to go to heaven, none of us do, but we are so thankful that you made us worthy by dying in our place to save us, to forgive us of our sins and give us a passport to heaven. And we're so thankful today. We pray that you'll direct us now by the Holy Spirit. May you take over, Lord, and may you be glorified. Please hide your servant behind the cross and just pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A man purchased a white mouse to use as food for his pet snake. He dropped the unsuspecting mouse into the snake's glass cage, where the snake was sleeping in a pile of sawdust. The tiny mouse had a serious problem on his head. At any moment, he could be swallowed alive. Obviously, the mouse needed a plan, a brilliant plan, to overcome this situation. What did the terrified creature do? Well, what he did was he quickly set up a covering over the snake with sawdust chips until it was completely buried. With that, the mouse apparently thought he had solved the problem. The solution, however, came from the outside. The man took pity on the little mouse and removed him from the cage. No matter how hard we try to cover our sinful nature, it's fool's work. Sin will eventually awake from sleep and shake off its cover. Were it not for the saving grace of the Master's hand, sin would eat us alive. We can be so thankful today that Jesus provided the solution, the remedy. He reached down to us in our sinfulness, in our need, and he saved us. And he shed his blood for us. He died so that we can live and go to heaven and be his forevermore. Yes, only through the cross of Jesus Christ can we have faith in him and salvation and forgiveness and eternal life. Yes, the Lord is good. The title of our message today is Delivered from Sin. Delivered from sin. Sin is not a popular topic to talk about in churches today. It's one of those things that's rarely discussed sometimes. But to realize our sins were taken off of us and put on Jesus, who is our substitute, and he died so that we could be forgiven. And salvation is such a blessing because it exists in three tenses. I learned this years ago, and it's so true. Salvation is in the past, it's in the present, and it's in the future. He's delivered us from the penalty of our sins in the past. They're under the blood, forgiven. Second, he has delivered us and is delivering us day by day from the power of sin. And third, in the future, still future, he will deliver us even from the presence of sin. And that's going to be a great joy in heaven. There will be no sin in heaven. So let's look at our first point today, the penalty of our sins. Adam and Eve were the first ones who sinned. And sin entered into the world, And ever since then, it's been in the human nature of man to sin. And we can't just blame Eve, and we can't just blame Adam. We are at fault. We have sinned against God. And sin is defined as missing the mark. It's missing God's perfect standard. It's disobeying God, and we've all sinned. Sinned in word, in action, in motive, in desire, and all of these things. And yet he loved us so much that he sent the Lord Jesus to pay the penalty for our sins. And sin has a penalty. It has to be paid. And the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You know, when a defendant goes to court, the judge, the jury, they listen to all the evidence, and then they make their decision. A lot of times it's a jury of 12 people. We see it going on right now in New York. It's made all the headlines. Some jurors say, "Well, I don't think I can make a fair and impartial decision," so they've had to step aside, and then an alternate would be. But they've got the jury seated there. But when they have the jury, and the jury hears all the evidence, and then the judge says, "Have you reached a verdict?" And they say, "Yes, Your Honor. Would you please read the verdict?" So the bailiff usually reads the verdict, and those words can hit the heart so hard when it says, "Guilty, guilty." And there may be many charges against the defendant, and you hear that same word again, "Guilty, guilty, guilty." Even if they say on one charge, "Not guilty," if you're guilty of one charge, you're going to face the consequences. And sin has consequences. There's a penalty for it, but Jesus took our penalty. He died for us on that cross. He substituted himself there. And I love Horatio Spafford's great hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." It is a joy to sing it. I love it. And one of the verses says this: "My sin, oh the bliss," or "oh the joy of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul." That great weight that we carried around, our sin, we came to Jesus and he took it, he bore it, and we are forgiven. It is such a great thing. So that's our first point today. He delivered us from the penalty of our sins. And think of what that penalty would have meant for us had he not done it. Spiritual death. Yes. Separation from God. Yes. Judgment. Yes. Hell and damnation. Yes. That was all for us. We deserved it. But he took our penalty and he died for us so that we can be spared of all of that and have eternal life. Isn't that something to rejoice in this morning? Isn't that something to say amen about this morning? That he loved us that much to die for us and die for our sins so that we could be forgiven. I mean, how can anyone, I don't understand how they can do it. How can anyone live in this world not forgiven? How can anyone live in this world not knowing that they're going to go to heaven? How can anyone live in this world not having the peace of God in their lives? But many people do. And we trust there is no one here this morning that doesn't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. But if for some reason there are any, today is the day to accept him as Lord and Savior, and he will deliver you from every one of your sins. No sin is too big to be forgiven by God. No sin is too terrible to be forgiven by God. Yes, he loves us that much to save us. Secondly, when we're saved, The second thing is the power of sin has been broken. It's been destroyed. He did that for us on the cross. And so day by day, he gives us the power over sin. That's amazing, because before we were saved, the old life, we had no power over sin. Sin had power and control over us. It controlled our thoughts, our words, our actions that were all displeasing to God. But once he has saved us, he has given us this deliverance from sin. Yes, we still have the sin nature. Yes, we still sin, although we sin less. But he gives us the power over sin. And we call upon him and he helps us. And we're so thankful for that. If we look at Romans chapter 6 and verses 1 and 2, it's such a beautiful verse, and it says this: what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. Or as the King James says, God forbid. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? And I am so thankful that I'm like that little mouse that God reached down and he took that mouse out to save him from the snake. And we now are saved from that. That snake will never get us ever again, that snake of sin. May God help us to have a holy hatred of sin. I think that's lost on many people today, to have that holy hatred against sin. We need to hate sin like God hates sin. The Bible says that sin is an abomination to God. And so as Christians, how can we do anything that is going to be displeasing to the Lord? We know we do it. There are times we blow it and we sin and we need to confess it to the Lord. But he does give us help. He does give us power. He does help us, because sin is all around us in this world today. All around us. We see it in our country. We see it in the world. We see what the devil has done. He's wreaked havoc in this world. He's the prince of the power of the air. He controls people. We see the terrible things happening in the world, and it's all because of sin. And we're thankful that God has broken our chains and set us free. I love that hymn, "My chains fell off. My heart is free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee." Yeah, when those chains are broken, they're broken. They'll never enchain us again. They'll never enslave us again. Before we're saved, we're slaves to sin. Now, when we are saved, we're slaves to righteousness. And God loves us so much, and we get to serve him. And he gives us power, and he gives us victory over sin. But you say this: what about my daily life, when I'm in the trenches, when I'm in the nitty-gritty of life, where the rubber meets the road? What happens then? Well, we have God's Word. We have God's Holy Spirit. We have his people to encourage us, and it is a blessing. This week, I had two things that happened to my vehicle. If you read my devotion, you know about what these two things were. The first thing was, I drove in my car on Thursday. I got in the car, and these cars are smart cars. They can tell you what's wrong with your car when you don't even know it. My rear passenger tire went all the way down to 17. It should be around 33 at least. And it went all the way down to 17. So I looked at that. I said, boy, I got a problem here. I got to take care of this. I got to find out what's going on. So I put some air in it, and then it started going down and down and down again. I got to take it in. So I took it into the dealership, and I was hoping they'd be able to fix this tire and I could get it on, and I'd be on my way, and back home, it would be great. They said, oh, Mr. Allen, I hadn't been there. I hadn't left yet. They said, Mr. Allen, I have to tell you, we can't repair your tire because there's a screw in it and it's on the side wall, and we can't repair your tire. you're going to have to replace the tire. So I said, oh boy, I'm going to have to replace these tires. And these Michelin tires are very nice, but they're very expensive. And I said, okay. So, but I didn't want to do it then. I was going to try to see if I could find the least price. And anyway, so I drove home and I had to keep going though and filling this air up because the air was running out. So I did that, but I didn't put enough in. I knew I needed more because the air is going to go out. So I got to stop one more time. And so I'm going to go to a different place this time. So I go in to get the air, and I got the air, and I start backing up. And I blame nobody else but me. I backed up near where the pump was. I didn't hit the pump, but I hit this cement barrier thing around the pump. And I go, oh, no. And so then I got to where I was going, and I got out of the car, and I looked, and the whole back of the left side is all smashed in on the bumper, that black piece that goes on the bumper. So the good news, I'm going to have that fixed. I had the tire fixed, I had that replaced, and that was good. And now I've got to have the car fixed. But these are little things. These are little things we go through. But God helps us, and He helped me through this, and He helps us whatever we go through, and He gives us the power. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, He'll help us in any situation we go through. And Brother Jim Sisko is going through a very difficult situation right now, and yet we have the power of prayer, and we pray for him that God will do a great miracle here and raise him up to full health, and he'll recover. So let's continue to pray for him. Yes, we have to claim God's power. Paul gives us the secret in Romans 6, chapter 6 and verses 13 to 14, when he says, "And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, you are under grace." I am so thankful for that. How many remember the Wesley family, right? You had Charles Wesley, you had John Wesley. Well, their mother was Susanna Wesley. And they had so many kids, and she raised them for the Lord, and she taught them from the Bible. And she is an example of a mother who homeschooled her kids. She was ahead of her time on that. She homeschooled the kids, and she loved them, and she trained them. Well, she taught John a great lesson. And she defined sin to her young son, John Wesley. She said this. She said, "If you would judge the lawfulness or unlawfulness of pleasure, then take this simple rule. Whatever weakens your reason, impairs the tenderness of your conscience, obscures your sense of God, and takes off the relish of spiritual things, that to you is sin." So many times, don't we feel, well, I wonder if I should do this or I shouldn't do this. I wonder if this is wrong or if this is not wrong. Ask yourself this question. Is what I'm going to do right in God's eyes? Is it pleasing to him? Is it going to glorify him or not? And if it's doubtful, we shouldn't do it. We should be very careful, and we should be very thankful that the Lord teaches us right from wrong, from his word, and he helps us to do it. The Apostle John said in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 6, "Whoever abides in him does not sin." That is, continue in sin, practice sin. "Whoever sins or practices sin has neither seen him or known him." The Lord knows our weaknesses. He knows we're frail. He knows that we will sin because we still sin. But he provides a way for us to come before him and confess our sins. In 1 John verses 8 and 9, it tells us very clearly, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the blessing of it. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Yes, confession is so important. And the Lord doesn't say, go to the priest and confess your sins to the priest. No, we go straight to the Father and we confess our sins in Jesus' name. We ask for forgiveness and he says, I forgive you. And then when even though we remember it, he says, you're sinning, I will remember no more. And we're so thankful for that. We're thankful that God forgives and he forgets. So many people say, I'll forgive you, but I'm not going to forget. There'll come a time when I'm going to get revenge, right? That's what human nature wants to do. But God forgives and forgets, and he loves us that much. So we see, first of all, he's delivered us from the penalty of sin. And without that, we would be lost. Secondly, he day by day delivers us from the power of sin. Sin no more has dominion over us. And third, when we think about heaven, in the future day, he's going to deliver us even from the presence of sin. Think of that. We're going to one day be in heaven and there will be no sin at all. No sin. We won't have to struggle against sin. We won't have to fight against sin. We won't have to confess our sin anymore because there won't be any more sin. Other than Jesus, when we get to heaven, we're going to see him. That's going to be the greatest thing in heaven. But I think the second greatest thing is there will be no more sin. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more tears. There'll be no more crying. And yes, Brother Andrew, there will be no more scars in heaven. As we go through this life, we get scars, don't we? Caitlin mentioned it this morning in Scripture Memory class. She's talking about her dad. That was a scar of the heart. Those scars take longer to heal. Those scars are deeper inside and can really affect us. The scars on the outside, yes, they were painful. They remind us that we went through the pain, the physical pain, but they're nothing compared to the emotional and mental scars that we go through. But the Lord Jesus does wipe away those scars. And when we get to heaven, they'll all be gone except the ones in Jesus' hands, feet, and side. We're so thankful for that. It's going to be a blessing. It's going to be definitely a blessing. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 27 says these beautiful words, but there shall by no means enter anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Yes, sin will be excluded, exterminated, and it will be fantastic. Yes, we know the truth, and the truth sets us free. But can you imagine a place without sin? It is going to be tremendous. So let's remember the three tenses of salvation today. He's delivered us from the penalty of our sin. Second, he is delivering us right now, today, right now in 2024. He's delivering us from the power of sin. And one day, he's going to deliver us even from the presence of sin. What a blessing it will be. So let's not condone any sin in our life. Let's not take it lightly. Let's not try to justify ourselves and blame other people. These are all things people do with sin, right? Instead, it's my fault. They have an expression nowadays. It's very true. I learned it a few years ago. I never had heard it before, but me bad. My bad. You see a basketball player. He committed a foul. My bad. He threw the committed a turnover. My bad. A quarterback threw an interception. My bad. They pointed themselves. That's mine. That's on me. I did it. Not you. It's my fault. And when we come to the place in our life where we say, Lord, it's me. I'm a sinner. I don't deserve your salvation. But I come to you. I cry to you. Please forgive me of my sins. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. Change my life. Change my heart. And he will do it. All we have to do is believe in him and his finished work on the cross and accept him today. And I'd like to just conclude with a poem. But before I do that, think, if you're here today and you're hearing the gospel, the good news, and you've never experienced it for yourself, today is the day to do it. Because kids cannot get into on the coattails of their parents to heaven. Friends cannot get in on the coattails of friends. Each person has to make their own personal decision for Christ. And that's what we want everyone to do. So I'm going to conclude with this little statement that was found in Moody Monthly. I don't know how long ago it was. It doesn't say who wrote it. But the title is, What is Sin? Man calls it an accident. God calls it an abomination. Man calls it a defect. God calls it a disease. Man calls it an error. God calls it an enmity. Man calls it a liberty. God calls it lawlessness. Man calls it a trifle. God calls it a tragedy. Man calls it a mistake. God calls it a madness. And man calls it a weakness. God calls it a willfulness. May God help us to trust in him today, to deliver us from our sin, the penalty, the power, and one day even the presence of sin. Shall we just conclude in a word of prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we think of how we were so helpless, so sinful, so lost, so empty, so depressed without Christ. And we pray for anyone here today who doesn't know you as Lord and Savior. Lord Jesus, please open their hearts to you, to receive you as Lord and Savior and believe in you so that they can receive eternal life, be forgiven, and have the hope of heaven to be in glory with you forever. We just thank you for your word that is so encouraging. May it encourage our hearts and inspire us to walk close to you, Lord, and to claim that power that we need over sin, this world, and the devil. And we pray you will give us the victory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.